Next up, the Riverside Blues. Then we turn to a discussion of the Port City Jazz Band on Jazz Rhythm and KALW. Dave Radlauer, hey, you enjoying this chat with Ev Foray? Talk a little about the Port City, since we've seemed to have exhausted every other topic.
They were a wunderkind band in Stockton, and their slogan was, "We give them Dixie till they puke." and boy, it didn't take long. The first time I saw them, they were like 17 or 18, 19 years old, and they were playing at a jazz festival in Stockton, and it was god-awful. It was just awful. And I never saw or heard of them again, and then I got a call one time to sub for them at a fair over in Vallejo. And they had improved musically, but everything was lickety-split and loud and brash. And I told the leader, it was the first time I'd ever had a gig where my fingers went before my chops. and then did another subbing with them at Petaluma, and then their trumpet player quit. And I went down to Bakersfield and did a fair with them for 2 weeks down there, and then it just kind of became the regular. And I've been with them ever since. And they gradually developed away from the Murphy style, and it's really almost a New Orleans four-beat now. The bass player in the band played tuba. He'd never played string bass, finally took it up, and got a pretty good level of skill in a very short time. He's very musical, and one of the most musical banjo players I've ever come across. His name is Stuart Zank, and he's a kid whose father pushed him into playing banjo when he was 5 years old, and he actually did fairs with Don Marchant's wife when he was about 7 years old. At fairs, we do strolling music, so we've never had a piano player or a regular drummer. Up until the last 3 years, maybe, that's all we did. between the middle of October and the middle of April, we didn't even see each other. And then gradually, as the band kind of changed musically, why we started getting other work. We don't do very many festivals. In fact, we only do two. We do Sacramento every year, and last year we did San Diego, and we're going to do it again this year. Those fairs, some very short, some longer, have had to cut out a lot of their entertainment. A five-piece band is their most expensive piece of grounds acts, you know, so.
When you say grounds act?
You're there every day, and basically entertaining on the ground, sometimes on a stage, but not on a major stage, you know, not like the arena acts that come in for one or two nights and go.
ground Zacks are there through the whole run as a rule.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only thing that makes them worthwhile.
I was going to say, as Bill was saying, this is, you know, music for a different sort of occasion. There's got to be a different relationship between the player and the audience. For instance, you're not playing to the traditional jazz faithful.
Yeah. The best way to describe it in some cases would be acrimonious. But, you know, up until maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago, we used to have some pretty exciting face-offs with kids that not only didn't like your music, didn't like the fact that you were playing it. And sometimes it got a little tense.
What do you mean face-offs?
Face-to-face, like somebody comes up and sticks their face in yours and has choice words for you.
These are guys that want rock music or something.
Yeah. Usually, you know, or kids, teenagers.
Yeah.
20 years old.
Yeah, and you're an easy target, you know.
I mean. Yeah. And but in later years now, the last few years, why we've been getting young people standing by and watching, listening. And one thing that happens everywhere is parents, young parents will bring their babies by in their strollers and baby buggies and make the kids listen. And the kids love it. In fact, at one of the fairs, they refer to us as the nursery band. And it's interesting. And in a lot of cases, I think the kids are seeing wind instruments for the first time, particularly tubas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. And often you'll see them not quite know how to handle it and then gradually develop into a dancing thing. You know, they'll be, and God, you get 10 or 12 little kids out there just doing all these incredible dances. All natural, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's fascinating because...
10, maybe.
So up to a certain point, they're receptive to it, and then it becomes outside their realm of what they're willing to accept.
Yeah. Or what they're willing to be to accept being seen doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's largely peer pressure. But 5, 6, 7-year-old kids are just loose as can be. And really, really fun.
How you gonna dance? How you gonna sing? Well, I'm telling you, you're gonna be blue when there ain't no swing. What you gonna do when you're feeling high and your baby's band plays a lullaby? Yes, I'm telling you, you're gonna be blue when there ain't no swing. Come on and dance. Get rhythm while the rhythm is hot, hot, hot as can be. Come on and dance. Start singing and swinging that zoo-zat-zat melody. What you gonna do when the night is young? You wanna swing but you can't get swung. Well, I'm telling you, you're gonna be blue when there ain't no swing. Thank you.
would you say that your style has evolved from the straight San Francisco to a much more general kind of traditional jazz way of playing?
I don't even like to play in. I don't like to play in two trumpet bands, and I don't like big, heavy, loud bands. My playing is a lot different than it was then.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's better or worse, I don't know, but it's different.
Mm-hmm.
My approach is different.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably a bunch of us are everything we heard when I was a kid was Waters. You know, it mm-hmm. was all Waters,
mm-hmm.
And it was a long time before I really got a taste for other kinds of music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. More, I don't know what you would call a different influence, New York influences or something.
I don't know. I liked Wild Bill Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of my favorites. And Yank Lawson.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, Red Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I just like the looser, more relaxed
mm-hmm.
music.
Yeah.
And I think it'll show with Port City Jazz Band
mm-hmm.
that it's different.
Yeah, and even you can hear that as the Bay City, you know, the later Bay City recordings compared to the Good Time Jazz. You can hear that there's a lot more freedom, and the players are, I think, much more excited about the music in some ways.
Well, you know, but I learned from Turk, too. I like arrangements. I don't like them to be as formal as Turk's, you know, but
mm-hmm.
but on our Port City album, there are several tunes that are very arranged, and some that are lightly arranged, and some no arrangement at all. And I learned that from Turk, that you can play arrangements and still swing, you know, and still sound like a jazz band. But I also learned from Turk that you don't arrange too much. Thank you.
The Bay City playing Turk Murphy's Brother Lowdown from a live performance at the Salon in 1959, Ev Ferre leading the band on trumpet. Before that, we heard two from the Port City Jazz Band, and those would be What You Gonna Do When There Ain't No Swing, composed by trumpeter Red Allen, vocal by Tom Schmidt, who played clarinet and alto sax on the Port City album, and the Boudalam Shake before that, Port City Jazz Band. Let's wrap up this discussion with Mr. Ev Ferre by turning to the Bay City Jazz Band playing Bay City. People like you who play this kind of music have had to make personal sacrifices, have not received great acclaim and recompense always, and yet the people who listen to the music get a lot of joy out of it and have a deep appreciation for what people like you have to sacrifice to play the music.
I don't look at it that way. In the history of the music and in the kind of hierarchy of the music, I see myself as a mediocre player who's spent a lifetime doing it and had a real good time, and I got a lot more out of the music than I put into it. I feel really fortunate. And also, I have a wife that doesn't care that I don't bring home a lot of money, so. You know, I've had to do other things to pay the bills sometimes, but basically I've been doing it with music and made enough money to get by all those years, so music gave me a 20-year vacation, really. And it's been fun. I don't feel like it's a sacrifice at all.
Well, likewise, it's been fun chatting with you and having a chance to get to know you a little better and for you to share your memories with the KALW listeners.
Thanks for having me, Dave. I really didn't expect to get into the Ev Ferre Show. I thought it was going to be the Bay City Jazz Band, but it's fun. Thanks.
Thank you.
So, to the strains of the Bay City Jazz Band from their 1956 Good Time Jazz album, now reissued on Fantasy Records, we're going to conclude this tribute to Ev Ferret and to the Bay City Jazz Band. We heard Bay City and Brother Lowdown from live performances at the Sale Inn, which not too long after that became the first Earthquake Magoons Club in San Francisco. And before that, as I said, we heard from the Port City Jazz Band. Special thanks to Ev Ferret, of course, for consenting to the interview, and to Bill Carter of the San Francisco Traditional Jazz Foundation for helping out with rare material and with the interview. And, of course, Bill was one of the clarinet players in those sessions, some of those sessions, from 1959. Thanks also for technical assistance from Command Productions and Intuitive Audio, and thanks to Fantasy Records for providing the compact disc, now reissued, of the Bay City Jazz Band from 1956. Hope you enjoyed this discussion with a wonderful trumpet player, wonderful man, outstanding band leader who's put together some wonderful bands, and someone who's been playing jazz for quite a few years here in the San Francisco Bay Area. I'm Dave Redlauer. That's Jazz Rhythm. Thanks for listening, jazz lovers.